In Or Yisrael, Samach Gimel Samach Dalid, in Tashin Ayin Beis, there are a series of articles on the topic of whether video surveillance is sufficient for purposes of Hashgacha to oversee milking facilities, where there's a concern of Chalav Akum, instead of having Mashgiach there in person, who's Yotze V'Nichnas, is it sufficient to have a live video feed where someone could sit in an office and view, at least Beyotze V'Nichnas, the milkings of the cow? The context for this is the situation in Eretz Yisrael. The assumption of the Shaila in Eretz Yisrael is twofold. So in Eretz Yisrael, there shouldn't be a problem of Chalav Akum because everyone's Jewish. So assumption number one, first of all, is that we're not going to lie to Moshe's Kula that if there's government supervision, you need to worry about Chalav Akum Mechlal. And assumption number two in the question is that if you have Mechal Shabbos, that creates a potential problem of Chalav Akum. At least you can rely on Mechal Shabbos to milk without supervision. So the assumption of the question was that even though in the Eretz Yisrael, you have Mechal Shabbos for milking the cow, so you need to have some kind of pikuach. And there's a significant financial cost of having people at every single milking facility, so it would be a lot easier if you could have video surveillance to solve that problem. So that was the exchange in two volumes of Or Yisrael. Then Rabbi Bleich wrote a summary of that in Tradition, summer 2012. The sugya that this all emerges from, which then has ramifications for other areas in halacha far beyond surveillance of milking cows, is a sugya that has to do with our sedra. Parshas Bo, we read of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Dalet Amud Aleph, first page of the Ma'amar Komus, regarding the standard of edus that's required in order to testify about Re'iyas HaLavana. The Gemara says about 10 lines from the top, Tanu Rabbanan, Re'inuhu B'mayim, if Edom come and say, we saw the moon in the water, meaning we saw the reflection of the moon in the water, but we didn't see the moon in the sky. Re'inuhu B'ashashis, we saw it in a glass. What does that mean, Re'inuhu B'ashashis? The Rashi over here says a lantern. And that's what the French word sounds like. Candela is apparently a kind of a lantern, so I'm not sure exactly what the Messias was, some kind of a glass receptacle that you would put a candle in, or put a lamp in, and you saw it through that. The Pashas in the Gemara, in the way I think most understand it, we'll see this is the way the postgame that discusses Gemara seems to understand it, the Pashas is, we're talking about seeing through a mirror or something of that sort, where you don't see the moon directly, see a reflection. So just like Re'inuhu B'mayim is you see the reflection of the Levana in the water, Re'inuhu B'ashashis is you see the reflection in a mirror or something of the sort. There is a Ritva. I saw the Masifta Gemara quotes this Ritva as having a contrary pshat in Ashashis, but I'm not 100% sure if that's correct. Ritva says, B'ashashis, perish derech Ashashis, Shahi Bachalon Shabakosel. The Ashashis, which is in the window in the wall. So the Mesifta quotes the Ritva is saying it means you see through the window. So he doesn't say Shahi Chalon Shabakosel, he says Bachalon. So that might be a mirror or something, some reflective piece of glass that is placed in the window or in an opening in the wall. I'm not sure if this necessarily means you're seeing it through a window, as opposed to some kind of reflective glass. Even if the Ritva does mean you're seeing it through a window, most others seem to take it otherwise as talking about some kind of mirror or reflective prism. So anyway, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Re'inuhu B'mayim, Re'inuhu B'ashashis, Re'inuhu B'avim, we see it in the clouds. Again, these are all ways of not seeing it directly. Rashi says, Ba'avim, Yom Me'unan Haya, V'inuam Me'ira Derech Ovia Shalav. We saw it through the cloud, but we didn't actually see the moon directly. Ein Me'idan Alav. So that is insufficient, that's an insufficient Re'iyah, that's an insufficient sighting to be able to say Eidos on that basis. Okay. The Birka Yosef, that's the commentary of the Chida in Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at page 2 of the Ma'amar Komos. Birka Yosef in Hilchos Eidos. Choshe Mishpat Simen Lamed Hei Sifkatin Yir Aleph. Choshe Mishpat Simen Lamed Hei Sifkatin Yir Aleph was asked about Edim Shiro Over Aveira Besoch Mashin Istayr B'mari Zechuchis. The Shaila was, there are witnesses at sea, someone committing an Aveira that they would have to come and say Edis about, through a mirror. They don't see directly, they see its reflection, they see through a mirror. So are they able to say Eidus and Bezdin on the basis of that Re'ia that comes through a mirror? So he quotes our Gemara, and he says, at first glance, don't you see from our Gemara that if you see the moon through a window, you can say Eidus? So apparently if you see something through a mirror, that doesn't work. That's not good Eidus. And then he says, he quotes from a tshuva halachas ketanos from the early Archonim, who says, maybe not. Yesh litchos, deshani hasam, the end of the first paragraph, debashashis yesh litos, shemashiro ein olavonam. If you're looking through the reflection of the mirror, so it's not that the re'ia per se is not a re'ia, necessarily. Maybe there we're just concerned that it's going to distort the image. Kamosha Kasa Mefarisham, as the Mefarish on the Rambam in Perek Beis Hilchos Kiddush HaKadosh says, Shekal Hanach Ninbelem Halavana Ve'ena Halavana Vados. All the cases in the Gemara are cases where there's some distortion in the perspective. If you see it, the reflection in the water, that's a distorted perspective. If you see it through a window, maybe there is a distorted perspective. But maybe if you see people committing an aveira through a mirror, and there's no doubt about what you actually saw when it comes to Levana, so maybe if you see it through the mirror, it's a reflection of something else, it's not a absolute Ria of the Levana. But that's not definitional to seeing something in a mirror. If you see Reuven kill Shimon in a mirror, so there's no doubt in your mind that Reuven killed Shimon. So maybe you could be mechali between the context of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and the question of Eidos in general. So the Chida seems to understand, at least misafek, or at least raises a possibility, that the Chisaron in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is simply a Chisaron of accuracy. That in that case, what you see might be a distorted image, but theoretically, if you see something through a mirror that you know is definitely what is going on, then maybe that would be a halachically valid re'ia. He leaves out with the tzarachi in Ladina, but he raises that possibility that then maybe the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is not necessarily conclusive as far as his shaila about Eidus through a mirror. There is a tshuva, the tshuva Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Kafav, references a tshuva of the Dvar Shmuel. Dvar Shmuel, Shmuel Levua, of one of the early Italian Achronim, Dvar Shmuel Siman Reish Mem Beis, discusses our sugya as well. So he's talking about Birchas Levana. Can you recite Birchas Levana? Can you recite the bracha of what we call Kiddush Levana if you see the moon through a mirror, through a reflection? So he also says that maybe the concern of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is that if you see the Levana through a mirror, that's presenting a distorted image. Just as Rashi writes, Ba'avim Renua Me'ira Darachovi Shalav, you see through the cloud, or B'mayim, you see it in the river, maybe that's a distorted image. Maybe you're seeing a reflection. Maybe you're seeing a shadow. Maybe it's a shadow of the moon. Maybe it's not the real moon. So as far as his shaila about actually saying the bracha, so he says, Safi brachos l'kula. But he says, Asfar nosenes, you might argue, She'im ba'osa perek ba'osa makom, she'yaroa samito chamra, but let's say you have a situation where you see the Levana through a mirror, but there are other people standing next to you who see the same Levana clearly, and they tell you that it's really the Levana, so maybe that would account for any possible distortion, and you can rely on their representation that it's really the Levana, and then what you're seeing is actually the Levana. Maybe you can make a bracha on that basis. So he raises that as a safek Ledina, and this is quoted Lahalacha in the Shari Tshuva, sorry, it's quoted Lalacha in the Bar Hetev, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Siman Tav Kavav, Sifkatan Aleph, which is the end of this packet.
Why would looking through a mirror or looking through a reflection be different than listening to shofar through an echo? But you can't do both with an echo. You have to hear the shofar directly. So too, you have to see the moon itself.
So do you have to see the moon itself, or do you have to know that the moon's there? So that's precisely the issue that we're getting at, right? Is there, we'll see, others may say, that there's actually a din ri'iyah that's unique to chodesh, to edus ha-chodesh. We'll get to that in a minute. So the Dvar Shmuel also assumes that the concern when it comes to the mirror, the ashashis by a moon, is one of distortion, but not that fundamentally seeing something through a mirror can't be a ri'iyah under any circumstances. Rabbi David Lichtenstein from Muncie, of Headlines fame, has a kuntris that he wrote entitled Internet Bahalacha, which is published of all places on the internet. So he writes over there that this approach you also see in the Rabbeinu Chananel. Go back to page 1. Rabbeinu Chananel and the Akamar in Rosh Hashanah. Tani Rav Renua B'mayim. It's about even with the bottom Mishnah. Perish Hayumayim Lefana. There's water in front of you. Rav and Suras Levana. And you see the reflection, the shape of the moon on the water. The Harim Rosho Lira Salavana B'Shamayim. And then he raises his head to see the moon in the sky. V'lo Raklom, it's not there. So there you have kind of Raglai Ladavar that maybe you didn't really see it. You saw the reflection, and then you actually looked to see it in the sky, and it wasn't there. So that could color all the cases here. These are all cases where you see a reflection, and then you look, and it's not really there. But that's not necessarily indicative of a more general chisaron of ri'iyah through a mirror under all circumstances. The Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Kav Vav. You have this on the second page. Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Kav Vav. Shvus Yaakov, the author of the Torah Sashlamim. Minchas Yaakov. So he's asked about whether Dayanim and Chalitza, where you need Enei HaDayanim, Enei HaZakenim, sorry. So can the Dayanim and Chalitza wear glasses? So when we had our chalitza a couple of weeks ago, I think all of the dayanim, all five, were either wearing glasses or contacts. It's hard to come across dayanim these days that don't wear glasses. So, but he was asked the shaila, can dayanim wear glasses for chalitza? Maybe you need a nezakei mamish. Maybe seeing through glasses is not a proper ri'iyah. He quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. He quotes the Dvar Shmuel, and he says, not necessarily relevant. In the long paragraph about, here it's on page 3 of the Mar Makamos, line 1, 2, 3. It's Elanira. Divilav hachi ein zudama luzu. The high renew about shashis, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, lo mairi b'kinyin zesh, shara derech hashashis or akiyah. It doesn't mean, it's not like you're looking through eyeglasses, you're looking through a piece of glass at the sky. Aladamairi dumya debavadereisha. It's like the first case, derabamayim. You look in the water, shalavana hayazarach is neganamayim, the moon's shining on the water. Verotachamayim, bevoa shalavan. You see the reflection of the moon. Shalaratach harakiyah. You didn't see it in the sky at all. V'chein rabba shashis mayri b'chia gavna shashashis munach ala aretz o b'kosel v'roe demusa shalavana. You see the reflection, the image, toch hashashis avalora b'chia klal chein pirish rashi lehedisham b'gemar re'inu b'mayim toch anar o mayim re'inu re'inu o mein re'inu demusa shalavana. So that's exactly what we're talking about. It has nothing to do with glasses. There's no glasses are magnifying what you're looking at, but it's the regular line of vision that a person would have anyway. We're not talking about a mirror reflection. We're not looking at the actual object directly. And he says that's the assumption of the Dvar Shmuel as well. Even though the Dvar Shmuel, he thought maybe meant something else. that we're talking about where you see it in a reflection, you don't see it in the sky directly. But Einu Inyan, through glasses, if you look through glasses, that would be fine for Chalitza, and presumably that would be fine for Kiddush Levan as well. Rabbi Bleich points out that there's a comment of the Tiferes Yisrael, Yachanu Boaz, Mishnayis Negayim, Perek Dalid, Perek Beis, Din is a Kohen has to see a Nega. So the Tiferes Yisrael raises the question, can a Kohen wear glasses to see the Nega? Says Musko Rishon is, of course a Kohen can wear glasses to see the Nega. That's considered his Riya. But then he says, maybe not. So the Tiferes Yisrael initially compares it to the din of Erva Bashashis. You're not allowed to say Kriyas from the Gemara Brachos, Kenegata Erva. And even if there's glass that blocks you from the Erva, you can't say Kriyas from even if there's a glass blocking. So the Tiferes Yisrael initially says a Kohen seeing a Nega through glasses is equivalent to saying Kriyas Shema Keneged HaErva BaShashis. So just like the Ashashis doesn't block you from the Erva and it's not to say Kriyas Shema, the glasses don't block the Riyas HaKohen and it can be Roas HaNeged. Even though, as Rabbi Bleich points out, one doesn't necessarily follow from the other. The case of the Ashashis isn't magnifying. You could argue that if you have glass that doesn't magnify, then that's not a chatzitza. If you have glass that magnifies, then maybe that would be a chatzitza. One doesn't necessarily follow from the other. But okay, he makes that assumption. And then he says, no, it should be analogous to the Ashashis case by Kiddush Levana. Just like if you see Kiddush Levana through the Ashashis, if you see the Levana through the Ashashis, you can't say Eidus. So Cohen sees a Nega through his glasses, he can't see the Nega either. So that's again making two assumptions, Rabbi Bleich points out. Number one, it follows from the Tiferes Yisrael. He's assuming that you couldn't say Eidus HaChodesh if you see the moon through glasses, because he's taking it bidirectionally. So if you see the moon through your glasses, you can't say Eidus HaChodesh. That would disqualify a lot of us. And then, number two, he's assuming that the distortion that is potentially a problem when it comes to seeing the Levana is also true through glasses. Right, the way we've been explaining everything, the issue with the reflection in a mirror is that it may be a distorted image of the moon. You don't have that problem. It may be magnified if you're looking at a negative through glasses, but it's not a distortion. So the Tiferes Yisrael makes both of those assumptions. In the Sifta Gemara, I just saw that he assumes that the Tiferes Yisrael must be going like the Ritva, that Pshat HaShashis isn't a mirror, but a window. Again, as we said in the beginning, I'm not sure if that's necessarily what the Ritva means.
No, you're correct. Especially right. Like that the Shavuos Yaakov has the same lashon of Bachalon,
right.
The Ritva.
Right.
And the Shavuos Yaakov clearly understands, like Rashi, that it's a distortion.
Right.
So,
you see the lantern in the window.
Sorry?
It makes sense to say it's a lantern in the window.
Well, no one says a lantern in the window. Rashi says a lantern, and the Ritva says... you mean what the Ritva means of a Shashis Bachalon is...
Lantern that's in the window.
Got it. Maybe. Okay. Bachalon Shabakosel means Ashashis to Bachalon Shabakosel means a lantern in the window in the wall. Okay, good.
Were you at a time when, was there a point where Chalon just meant hole in the wall? And it didn't,
yeah.
Right, so.
Okay.
Just check.
Right, okay, good. Good, okay. Now, everyone we quoted till now assumes that looking. That the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah of Riyah Bashashis, question is whether that's necessarily relevant for other areas where you need Riyah, but the assumption is that the reason to be Mechalik is that there may be a distorted image, in other contexts it may not be distorted, but otherwise fundamentally the issues are the same. There's a tshuva of the Yitzchak Elchanan. Back on page 2, Yitzchak Elchanan was asked about relying on photographic evidence for Eidus Isha. Someone's husband was purported to have been killed or died, and the only evidence to support that, there's no aid that comes and says that he saw the person dead, but someone is able to see a photograph of that dead individual. Can you rely on that photograph as creating a sufficient biror for Eidus Isha? So in the context of that analysis, he just makes a point that our Gemara may not be relevant This is Ein Yitzchak Evan Ezer Simen Lamed Aleph. Ein Yitzchak Evan Ezer Simen Lamed Aleph Os Gimel. He writes that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah may not be of any relevance beyond Rosh Hashanah because there's a din of Kazer Re'e V'Kadesh. Achadosh Yitzchak Lechem Rosh Kadeshim Kazer Re'e V'Kadesh. That there, being on Davka Bereiyas Achadosh, the Yiras Etzem Alavana. So there's a din that you have to actually see it. So anything short of full vision, full sight of the Levana would be insufficient. But that's not necessarily relevant in other areas of Halacha where there's no absolute din ri'iya, and may be sufficient to have an umdana, to have a representation, a knowledge that that's a reality without an actual ri'iya. So if you have yediyah below ri'iya, so in other areas of Halacha, yediyah below ri'iya may be sufficient. And he points out here this two-volume sefer, Derech HaAtarim, Technology and Internet in Halacha, is an Atar Internet. So he points out here, he has a whole discussion, Simon Kofanan, what about if you are witness to a Kiddushin through a live stream? So the only Kasher Edim, there are no Kasher Edim present in the room, but you have your live streaming the Seder Kiddushin, and you have Kasher Edim seeing it through the live stream. So he thinks that you have to be Choshesh Le'edus, Choshesh Le'Kiddushin, and that may depend on whether for Kiddushin it's sufficient to have Edus Yediyah below Ri'ah. Do you have to actually have Edim see it, or is it sufficient to have Edim aware of what's going on? That's the Machlokes Rishonim, and Rashi Mordechai, Bishmuel Ebenezer Simon Membeis, Sefkatin Yudbeis, Membeis Yudbeis, quotes the Mordechai Lalacha that Edus Yediyah below Ri'ah is sufficient. So that's one area where he argues that a live stream, or seeing Edus, seeing something through a live stream, may be sufficient Edus, where all you need to establish is that it happened without a formal requirement of Ri'iyah. So back to the milking story, whether video surveillance or a live stream, a live feed of the milking area would be sufficient to have pikuach. So in this Or Yisrael, Rabbi Menachem Meir Weissmandel, Av Bezdin of Nitra and Munsi, assumes as follows. So first he quotes the Beis Meir, who assumes that the level of biwur required for the pikuach over milk is equivalent to that which required to be motzi mama. So he says that maybe in theory you could have argued that yediyah is sufficient, but he's worried about the practicality. He thinks that you can tamper with a video feed, and there's a possibility of a ziyah, a possibility of ramos, of somehow altering what you're seeing or preventing the person looking at the video to actually see the entire picture. So even if in theory there may be what to argue that would be sufficient, he's worried about the practicality of it. And then he says, he thinks according to the Chasam Sofer, Machlokes, really Machlokes Yishonim probably, but notice the Machlokes Achron, the Prichadish and the Chasam Sofer, let's say you have a case, you need to have pikuach on the milking. But you live in a town where there are no non-kosher animals. So do you still have to have pikuach on the milking if you know that there's no non-kosher animal around that they could switch the milk with? So the Prichadish assumes that in that case you don't need pikuach, you don't need hashkacha, because the requirement is simply a practical requirement. We're worried that you're going to be machlif. If there's no possibility to be machlif, then nothing to worry about. The Chasam Sofer assumes that no, this is a kind of a darish shebiminyan, an absolute requirement under all circumstances to have pikuach, to have someone watching over the process. And even if there's no concern whatsoever that they're going to be machlif, you still have to have that pikuach. So he thinks that according to the Chasam Sofer, then you have to have Riyah Mamish. You have to actually be in the room. Although, then there's a piece from Rav Mordechai Gross, Yabez and Chanicha Yeshivas in Bnei Brak, who says, even according to the Chasam Sofer, maybe there's situations where you don't need Riyah Mamish, and you could rely on such a apparatus. And they print a letter from the Shevet Alevi, who also, under certain circumstances, allows for this kind of video supervision. They quote here in the Derech Atarim, this is Rav Avram Maimon Halevi, Tavshin Ayin Ches. So he quotes an article from Noam, Volume Kaf. Noam was a Torah journal put out, edited by Rav Menachem Kasher. So there's an article written by Rabbi Gedalia Aaron Rabinovich, don't know who he was, Noam Kaf, who discusses the question as to whether the Dayanim can witness Tzvila for Geirus through a mirror. As we assume that Dayanim has to see the Tzvila, but is it sufficient to see the Tzvila through a mirror? So part of that hinges on the question as to what the role of Dayanim is in Geirus in general, which we don't have to talk about now. I think we've discussed it in other contexts in the past, whether the Bezim is actually being polled at Geirus, or they're just kind of a technical requirement, but the Geirus being polled at Geirus, the Shechter is very much in the Bezdin being polled at the Geirus camp. But he's assuming, like the other camp, that the Bezdin's role is somewhat secondary, so as long as they can establish that the Tevila took place, they don't actually have to see the Tevila directly, and if they see it through a mirror, then that would be sufficient, but I think Harbe Yishmakom Lachlok on that as well. In this volume of the Or Yisrael, there's a piece by Rabbi Zvi Reisman of Los Angeles. Rabbi Bleich seems to approve of the following point that he makes, that can you rely on video feed or a video hookup, video conferencing, in order to have Kabbalas Eidus Bifnei Baal Din? The din is that if you, under most circumstances, if Eidim are coming to say Eidus, either to passel someone or to say something that could be to the detriment of the Baal Din, that Eidus has to be presented in the presence of the Baal Din. So what can you have a situation where the Baal Din is present via video conference, not everyone's in the same room? See, things have to be totally on what's the reason for this whole requirement of having not saying Eidus Shalom Bifnei the Baal Din. So that's the Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi Bava Basar Kav Chesam Ebeis says that the reason is sheyedu liton lahachas she'edim v'lahavi achayim lazim. And you have to create a situation where the Baal Din is going to know what the charges are against him, and he'll be able to defend himself, he'll be able to contradict the edim, he'll be able to bring other edim to be masked in the first edim. So if the only reason that you need Bifnei Baal Din is so he knows what the stakes are, he knows what he's up against, so that's not compromised by having him present via video conference, via a hookup. He can be machish, he knows what the facts are just as well. But there's a Chuvas HaRashba, Chelik Beis Simen Shinayin Vav, Chelik Beis Simen Shinayin Vav, it says it's Xeris HaKosev, that certain details in Hilchos Eidus are Xeris HaKosev, Moshe V'Aaron, so there are plenty of details in Hilchos Eidus are Xeris HaKosev. I think this is Xeris HaKosev too. There's a din that under all circumstances it has to be Bifanov. So here also, he thinks that would have to be befuddled. I mean, the general assumption of the poskim that discuss these shilos is that if there's something that requires absolute re'iyah, Kiddush HaKodesh may be the extreme, or Maris Nagon may be the extreme, but if there's something that may be relevant by Kiddushin, according to some, it may be relevant for certain types of Eidus. If it's something that requires actual re'iyah, so then it's hard-pressed to argue conclusively that, or to demonstrate conclusively, that Re'iyah through a video conference is actual Re'iyah. But anything short of that, if you just need to establish facts, if you need an Umdana, if it's sufficient to have Yediyah below Re'iyah, if it's sufficient to have knowledge without actual technical Re'iyah, so then video conferencing would be sufficient for those purposes.
Factory, and he kept on saying it's really weird that this one fly kept on flying back at the camera and walked across the camera in one way.
Yeah.
And then, like 20 minutes later, the same fly would walk across the camera. And they kept on saying, so they worked with that engineering camera.
Yeah.
And they got a loop. I would kept on playing the video over and over again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know if that was
I guess that's what some of these are Puskim worried about.
Yeah.